get into a real estate of mind right here with Think Realty Radio, hosted by Abhi Golhar. Breaking down the latest market news, tips, and strategies, Abhi Golhar is nationally recognized for his real estate expertise. It's only on Think Realty Radio, and it starts right now.
Think Realty Nation, welcome to Think Realty Radio. It's your host, Abhi Golhar. I'm excited today because we get to talk about some important news that's coming. That's already here, actually. Excuse me. That's already here. It's already been put out. Home flipping data, we'll be talking about that. We'll also be talking about existing home sales and some other news that maybe you should be paying attention to as a real estate investor that may or may not be of interest. On the air today is my good friend Noel Christopher, Senior Vice President of Corporate Development at Renter's Warehouse. Excited to have him on the air. Man, Noel, it's always a fun time with you. Welcome to the show.
Great to be here, Abhi.
All right. So where do you want to start? There's always stuff, man. All the time when you and I talk, there's always some news about somebody misinterpreting data and saying that the housing world is going to crash. So I think we'll get to that eventually. Let's talk about existing home sales. Give me some of these numbers. Give me some context.
Yeah. So it looks like the existing home sales, you know, the report just came out on the 25th of March, talking about the January to February increase of, I believe it was around 11.8% of existing home sales. So all that means, I mean, in my opinion, is looking at the mortgage rates that kind of had shot up in October, November, and they've gone back down to, you know, really low numbers. I mean, you're looking at 4.26%. 30-year mortgage rate. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's just fueling the, you know, the market in a sense that it's, you know, it's shifting to a little bit more of a buyer market. So people can use a lot of terms to this, saying it's a slowdown or headwinds to the housing market. It is the natural progression of what's happening in the market. Interest rates are lower. So it's enabling buyers to, buy homes with a little bit extra, you know, extra or less payment for the same amount of home. And there's some more inventory that's ticking up. We're getting into the selling season. There's a lot of people who are on the sidelines who now, I think because of the lower mortgage rates, they look at this and say, I can go from my low mortgage rate I had before to another low mortgage rate. I want to get out of this house and move, you know, maybe downgrade into a smaller house or upgrade into a bigger house. And it's a net gain for them because they're not having to go into a higher mortgage rate environment. So that mortgage rate really, really can dictate a lot of different things happening in the market.
Excuse me. So when I initially was looking at understanding some of these trends, there was a really big belief that the Fed rate was also linked to mortgage rates. Is that not the case anymore? Like, what's going on there?
It's not the case as much. I kind of compare it to gasoline prices. Sometimes those mortgage rates move up and down based on market sentiment rather than the actual Fed rate. And, you know, we're seeing some negative yield curve in the bonds, which is a whole different subject, but it's not necessarily a causation of a recession, but it could be, you know, a correlation maybe. And those rates, you know, there's so many non-bank lenders now, so many things where the Fed is really kind of starting to lose a little bit of control and controlling those 30-year mortgage rates. But they've gone down, and it's a great thing. I think it's really more on the news that those rates move than they do on the actual numbers of what the Fed's doing.
So there's also been a lot of news about this housing market slowdown, and it's no longer a question. Is the housing market slowing down? There are people actually just saying the housing market is slowing down, and it could be a good thing or a bad thing. Black Knight had, and this is Black Knight Data Analytics, that had some very interesting conversation around home price appreciation. And what they're showing is at the end of December, quote, at the end of December, home prices at the national level had fallen 0.3% from November for their fourth consecutive monthly decline. And this is directly from Black Knight's data and analytics president, Ben Grabowski. Quote, as a result, the average home has lost more than $2,400 in value since the summer of 2018. And while home prices are still up on an annual basis, the slowdown continues nationwide and, most importantly, is not being driven by seasonal effects. December marked the 10th straight month of slowing annual home price appreciation, falling from a high of 6.8% annual growth in February to 4.6% at the end of the year. And all of that, all of this is fueling this commentary about home price appreciation officially slowing and therefore the real estate market, the home, the home sales also decreasing. Hence, we're in a recession. Hence, we're all doom and gloom. I can't stand this kind of stuff.
Well, so there's some doublespeak here. I don't quite understand. So where they're coming up with that average lost $850 in value, does that mean that, so it's saying it declined 0.8%. So that means that it didn't appreciate 0.8%, or actually the value of the home went down? Because if you read it, it says the value of the home went down, but this is a home price appreciation conversation. And it's saying that they appreciated 4.6 in December, down from a high of 6.8, and it's still above the 25-year average of 3.9%. So Housing Wire also came out with an article recently that was the Case-Shiller, and it was a similar type of sentiment in the article saying, watch out, there's a housing slowdown, when, you know, it talks about, you know, appreciation is down from the surge of last year. There's markets that surged and now they're back down to a normal number. So watch out. I think it's just a play on words, and it is quite frustrating. You know, when it's saying the annual rate of appreciation in California fell from 10% to 3%. Well, 10% was way too high.
Right.
3% is a pretty good average.
Yeah, that's fair.
And even if it goes to a zero for a little while, you still had 10% for many months, and it's okay. I mean, look at, you know, they're talking about Nevada and Idaho are still at a 11.7 and 11%. And this is the same data that I did a LinkedIn video on that got a lot of traction, of talking about how this home price appreciation is okay. We're not in the stock market. We don't have to have this constant, just hard appreciation numbers every year. Because when you have those things, everybody's saying nothing's affordable. Now, when things start to level off and the market is correcting itself, people are saying, oh no, the market's going bad, and now it's too affordable, or now the prices are becoming affordable, but now it's a housing slowdown or crash or downturn. So
yeah, it's really interesting to me too. What folks will also kind of pin this on is, well, you know, listen, since 1968, here's the argument. Since 1968 to 2004, the average yearly increase, so home prices would appreciate roughly 6.4% on average. Okay. And this is without a single decline during this 36-year period. So, well, we're at a 3% home price appreciation right now. That means we're 3 points down. We're 3 percentage points down than a historical average, which means that we're in a decline. Now, stop thinking that way. And quite frankly, you also look at this, the Housing Wire, and I also have that article pulled up, the Case-Shiller, home price gains are shrinking. I mean, come on, that's the exact same thing as saying home price appreciation. So you might as well just say one or the other and stay consistent. And it's not further escalating the fact that a housing market is slowing down. No, it's balancing out. That's what's happening here. Home buyers are a little frustrated with the fact that sellers have been getting the way for so long. That needs to stop. All right, we got to go to break. We'll talk more about some of these news articles and how they really impact you when we come back. And of course, you want to stay tuned for the latest year-end 2018 home flipping data, which was released very recently. More with Noel Christopher when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
This hour is brought to you by Renters Warehouse, one of the largest, fastest growing, and highest reviewed property management companies in America. We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Abhi Golhar after these messages.
Hi, Kevin Ortner here, CEO of Renters Warehouse. I'm guessing that many of you might be considering a move. Maybe you need to relocate, maybe you're combining households, or maybe you already own investment property. Whether you have one home or a whole portfolio, my expert team at Renters Warehouse can help you perfectly price your property and rent it out fast, easy, and worry-free in just 17 days on average. For one low flat monthly fee, our professional landlords will manage your property 24/7. We collect the rent, we handle maintenance requests, inspections, all that regulatory red tape, and will even warranty our tenants for up to 18 months. That means if your tenant doesn't stay for any reason, Renters Warehouse will replace them for free. There's no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. Go to renterswarehouse.com right now to book a free home rental price analysis and see what your home will rent for today. A professional landlord will visit your property and show you personally how to rent your home fast and for top dollar.
Find out how much your home.
You have to play the percentages when you invest in real estate. Win the percentage game with Angel Oak Prime Bridge. Whether it's fix and flips as low as 8% or landlord financing starting at 5.5%, Angel Oak Prime Bridge wins with a customer-focused approach to your business. Go to aopbconnect.com to see how you can win at the percentage game with Angel Oak Prime Bridge. And introducing our new wholesale partner program available at aopbconnect.com. The secret to winning at the percentage game.
Time, wealth, purpose. Three things you'll gain on your real estate investment journey with Think Realty. If you want to get serious about real estate investing, you can't miss the next Think Realty event close to you. Think Realty events are packed with local and national experts for you to network with and grow your business. We have four events lined up for 2019, so register today. Text RADIO to 96270 to find the next Think Realty event near you or visit thinkrealty.com. We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Abhi Golhar.
All right, we're back from break. It's Abhi Golhar with Think Realty Radio. My guest today is Noel Christopher with Renters Warehouse. So we've been talking about some news that you need to pay attention to and kind of debunking some of the stuff that's out there that people are talking about. For example, so there is one article, though, Noel, that I saw that was kind of interesting where it was titled "Home Housing Market Slowdown." First, it's not a slowdown. It could be good news for home buyers. Effectively, what you're saying there is the housing market is rebalancing itself, okay? Imagine you've got buyers on one end and sellers on the other, and right now sellers have all the power and buyers are succumbing to their power. Eventually, the sellers have been getting the way, but eventually the buyers will say, well, we're not going to pay your outrageous prices because it doesn't make any sense. Stop it. Then it starts to swing back in the favor of buyers. And when buyers are ruling the world, that's when you have opportunities that you found, say, in 2009, 10, 11, 12. Those are extraordinary circumstances. But those investors and those buyers that bought then, I mean, you're crushing it right now. I mean, you have so much equity. So it's just a cycle. It's just a cycle. It's not like houses are going to crash and burn and all this stuff and none of this doom and gloom stuff. Let's put this into perspective. And Noel, you can weigh in on this too because you have a really good pulse on this. When it comes to affordability, when it comes to some of these indicators that we look at, for example, existing home sales, and we'll get into the house flipping data in a second. What's my big takeaway?
Well, it is a cycle, and we are dealing with supply and demand wanes when the supply gets too expensive, or there's not enough supply, the prices start going up. I mean, I think that, you know, what would be interesting here to really try to understand is that, you know, we are dealing with an affordability issue, but we have a ton of baby boomers sitting on homes that they want to sell and they haven't because they locked in low mortgage rates back in, you know, after the downturn.
Yep.
And they haven't been wanting to sell mainly because of low mortgage rates. those mortgage rates start to adjust, there's still a lot of demand for the houses. They're going to start moving those houses. That creates more supply, and it's great to see supply. I mean, I hear people talking about, oh no, the supply is inching up. There's a housing downturn. When and supply inched up 1.5% or 2%. I'm talking about months, the time on market sometimes, or months supply.
Yeah.
So months supply inched up. I mean, these numbers, we get into such finite numbers. When we're talking about a decrease of 1% in new home sales or an increase of 1% of new home sales, that is really small. So dealing with these finite numbers and using them to make conclusions about a housing market is really tough. And I think that, you know, there obviously everybody agrees there's been an affordability problem. There still is an affordability problem.
Right.
Student loans are an issue. They've been an issue. We've talked about it a million times on here. Those things are all factors. But the fact is that the mortgage rates are really dictating what people are doing with the housing supply. So I think it's great. I think it's great that that appreciation has leveled off. It is a really good thing because it was at an unsustainable appreciation rate. 10% appreciation is a little bit crazy. So get down to a normal level.
Definitely.
Get down to some. And look, you know, I may eat my words. Like, we don't know what the new normal is going to be going forward. Maybe a normal appreciation of 3% instead of 3.9%. I think anywhere between 2 and 3% a year appreciation is great over the long term.
For sure.
It's sustainable. It's a little bit above, you know, so the appreciation usually ticks a little bit above inflation. So we keep inflation in check. It just all depends, you know, the factor here is, or the wild card here is government intervention. You know, affordability is a huge issue. If the government intervenes and starts making mortgages to people who should not have them because of the affordability issue, that could be an issue. I see HUD recently made their guidelines a little bit more strict because they were seeing a little bit of uptick in some delinquencies and they're being a little too lenient.
Yep.
There's housing supply out there. Not everybody's destined to own a house. It may not be the best idea for everybody.
No.
So you can rent. There's a lot of different things, and it creates opportunities for everybody.
I'm interested to see how much of an effect. So you talk about baby boomers, right? And the fact that they locked in all these low interest rates. It's going to be interesting to see if the interest rates inch down lower, will they refinance or will they sell their house and move somewhere else? But even if they sold their house and moved somewhere else, they would still have to be buying at a premium, or they would have to deal with the higher cost of renovation, labor, materials, the longer permitting times, the long everything. And I don't think they're going to do that. So if the play is to have these boomers start to sell more property so there is more inventory in the market, I'm not entirely sure that's a smart move. Now, on the other side of this coin, there are in the next decade or so, there's going to be a massive transfer of wealth. It's going to be about $1 trillion in just homes from baby boomers to the next generation. And that's because the baby boomers will be dying off, unfortunately. Now, when that starts to happen, maybe you adjust your acquisition criteria and you help the heirs and the petitioners and the families go through the probate process, because then you'll start finding some inventory there. But I'm interested to see. Like you said, I mean, we talk about the student loans, $250,000, $150,000, $100,000 in student loans. You're graduating with a negative net worth. I mean, it looks dismal, but what can really be done about it? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting because we haven't gone through a cycle like this before that I know of in the history of our country or of owning homes the way, you know, in the modern time. And I think you're right. The hard part is you've got a lot of baby boomers that are living in homes that are going to vacate those homes for their senior care or later in life. And if they can't sell them, I don't know what they're going to do. I think they're going to have to sell them. I think you have a lot of the baby boomers who would like to sell, who have been wanting to sell, but because of interest rates, the cost to get into a new home, all those different things didn't match up. But with interest rates a little bit lower and they want to downsize, you know, some of them are going to be taking a hit. And, you know, how that's going to affect things, I don't know. I think it's less likely you're going to have a lot of baby boomers dying or passing away with you know, their homes intact. I think that most of them will try to sell before that time comes. Mm-hmm. I think the fear is that you're going to have a lot of baby boomers that own these homes that aren't doing anything with them. Well, there's a demand. They could rent them, and they could pass on that income producing asset to their heirs. And there's not an issue about selling the house. Yeah. I think that's a market that is untapped. And that's something that, you know, as these baby boomers move on into the later stages of their life, and maybe they don't want to sell their house because of whatever the reason might be, renting it out could be a great option. And obviously I have a biased opinion of that, but I mean, I think that there's a huge demand and there's a huge shortage of homes, whether it's to rent, to buy, you know, whatever. So it's, who knows what's actually going to happen.
Yeah. Like you said, this is the first time this has really happened, right? The Fed moves interest rates. And nothing really happens to the mortgage rates. The Fed's not increasing interest rates this year. That's what they said they're going to do. Whether or not that actually sticks, or maybe even if they increase it a quarter point, what type of impact will that even have on overall housing? Plus the student loan piece, plus now you factor in the subprime car loans, which we should actually probably talk about when we come back too. So we'll talk about that, and then I do want to get into some of this flipping data in 2018 is very interesting. So that and more when we come back right here on Think Realty Radio. If you want to get in touch with me, super easy to do it. You can find me anywhere on social at Abhi Golhar, or you can submit your question on thinkrealtyradio.com. I'll see you in a sec.
This hour is brought to you by Renters Warehouse, one of the largest, fastest-growing, and highest-reviewed property management companies in America. We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Abhi Golhar after these messages.
National Real Estate Insurance Group is the industry leader in providing coverage customized for investors. We insure occupied, vacant, and renovation properties across all 50 states, can combine all properties on one schedule, and offer convenient pay-as-you-go monthly billing. Visit NREIG.com today for your free custom proposal. That's National Real Estate Insurance Group at NREIG.com, or call 888-741-8454, 888-741-8454.
Where are successful investors turning for the latest news, trends, and insights in real estate? Think Realty Magazine. Sign up for your investor-level membership at thinkrealty.com today to start receiving Think Realty Magazine delivered to your door and inbox every month. Boost your competitive advantage with news from the nation's leading investors, market updates, the hottest investment strategies, and more. Take the next step toward building more wealth. Sign up today at thinkrealty.com.
The key to success in any industry is having a network of skilled professionals who can help you do your job effectively. The American Association of Private Lenders believes that with better resources, you get better results. By visiting the American Association of Private Lenders website, you will find the resources to put more deals together, but better deals. Who doesn't want to improve their bottom line? To find a credible private lending professional, visit AAPLonline.com today. Savvy investors make use of smart savings. Think Realty Radio listeners, you have the opportunity to save smart with Sherwin-Williams Paint. Sign up for your free Think Realty membership now and activate discounts to save up to 50% off of select Sherwin-Williams Paint. Rehabbers, investors, property managers, this is your opportunity to save big for your next project. Start saving up to 50% now. Go to thinkrealty.com/paint and then click discounts.
We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Abhi Golhar.
We're back to Think Realty Radio, everybody. It's your host, Abhi Golhar. Got questions? Get in touch. Go ahead and head on over to thinkrealtyradio.com. You can also find me anywhere on social. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn and Instagram lately at Abhi Golhar. So make sure that you shoot me a direct message. You can message me anywhere, and I'm happy to answer your investing questions. Today, I have my good friend Noel Christopher with Renters Warehouse on the air. We're talking about some news articles that are relevant to the real estate investing space. And I do want to talk about, just for a quick second, Noel, before we start down the rabbit hole of home flipping data, because there's a lot to unpack there. Is there any new updates or any new information about the subprime car loan world that everybody seems to be talking about right now?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's pretty much the same. So I think what's interesting is the average price of a car keeps going up.
Right.
and the lending standard, you know, the subprime world of cars is getting a little tougher. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, the delinquency rate in the subprime car loans, you know, I would love to see this data. And if anybody listening or if we know anywhere to find it, I'd like to see the correlation between or just the numbers of how many of the subprime car borrowers own a house. Mm-hmm. Because I'd imagine not as many do. So that affects the housing market less. But all of these things, I mean, you can start from the government debt all the way down into the credit card debt, all the way down into the student loans, car loans, and housing data. And there's a lot of connection between all of those things. And, you know, and then you've got this, everybody's so focused on the stock market. I was just recently, on vacation, and I had a friend of mine that was, all he was doing was watching the stock market. And I asked him the question, do you own any stocks? And he said, no. So, well, why are you watching the stock market? He goes, well, that's the market. That's what's going on in our country. And I was like, no, that's not. That's a small blip on the radar of all the types of investments and the things that affect somebody on Main Street. Mm-hmm. So there's so many different factors that you have to think about and that can affect, and giving away loans to people who don't deserve them, somebody will pay for that in the long run. But I don't know if it's going to affect you and I in the housing market or house prices or things like that. Now, it may make a car cheaper in the coming years, maybe, hopefully,
right.
But, I don't know if it's going to affect us. There's some people on the top that are going to lose some money in a lot of this, but they've taken a calculated risk. So,
yeah, I think whoever designed some of this stuff will come out shining just fine. You know, I think they've, it always happens. They've designed for this. They know exactly the outcome, and they also know what's going to happen at the end. So interesting. Interesting thoughts. I agree with them. I think we should talk about some of this home flipping data. That's what I think. Adam Data released year-end 2018 home flipping data very recently, and some of these numbers are very interesting. The total dollar volume of financed home flip purchases was $19.9 billion for homes flipped in 2018, which is up it's up a whopping like 8% from $18.5 billion in 2017. So in 2018, $19.9 billion allocated for financing, flipping purchases for homes hit an 11-year high. An 11-year high. Do you feel, Noel, that that was pretty much the story of 2018? When is this market going to cool? Does that number kind of feel right to you, the $19.9 billion in financing?
Yeah, you know, I think that if you look into the numbers as well, is that the number of homes were down, but the gross profit was up. But I would bet you that the net profit was down quite a bit.
Aha, yes.
For a lot of the things that we've talked about, the cost of goods, the cost of doing business, the friction of doing business, of buying a home and flipping it and all those types of things. I would, you know, that gross flipping ROI that they talk about, a 44%, mm-hmm. down from 50% and 51%, that net number, I'm absolutely positive that net number is down.
Yeah, I agree. There's no way it can be 44.8% return. I mean, you're probably looking at you're looking at a gross flipping. That's exactly what they're talking about. An average gross flipping ROI, which I don't know why you would ever look at a gross flipping ROI. That's like that's just dumb.
Because they don't know what the net number is, so you can only use the gross number.
That's fair. It. I mean, that's fair.
This is raw data that you're trying to pull out some information and say, okay, look, you know, you can look at the trends of, you know, that 51% to 50 to 44% gross return. That's gone down. That gross return has gone down. And so is the net quite a bit.
Yes.
I know, because I know a lot of guys who flip, and the taking, it says homes flipped in 2018 took an average of 180 days to complete the flip. So 10 years ago is 159 days. That's a big difference. I mean, there's a lot of friction costs in there, and that is not days on market, because the days on market have been so low. And if you know what you're doing, you're pricing, you can price a home where it'll sell very quickly. It is friction costs of doing business, of permitting, getting all of those different things done. And there's a cost of your funds to do that, to hold that money for 180 days.
That's correct. And you have a lot of those factors too. You've got the cost of construction, you've got the cost of labor, you've got the time, like you said, the time to get permits, you've got the cost of permits. Like, that's not cheap anymore. Mm-hmm. At least it's not today. It used to be 10 years ago, but today, nope, sorry. And then on top of that, you've got city inspectors that are looking for the smallest nitpicky thing, just to slap fees on your property, because, hey, it's not really your money anyway. So it's, yeah, the 44.8% return, you could almost slash that in half.
If not that. I think getting a 20% net return is huge. People are really probably operating more in that 10% and 10 to 15%. I know that's how it was a few years ago in Chicago. I know in Denver, people are operating at an 8% return. I think what's interesting is that we work with a lot of different groups that one group in particular that I can't mention their name, but they are huge in home flipping, and they've started to now look at the numbers, and they're matching up better on the buy and hold than they are on the flip. Because the whole time, they can get that home finished and rented faster than they can get it finished and sold. And their return, when you start to add in the appreciation and rent increase, and, you know, at 5 years looks really good. And it starts to get better and better after that. So, we're seeing a lot of those guys do that. And there's even more creative, you know, it used to be your exit out of a investment property was to sell it to another investor, which is one thing you can do. Another thing is you can offer financing to the tenants. Mm-hmm. And you know, what it really used to be, a lot of investors, and we still hear this all the time, is they say, well, I have this investment property, the tenant's moving out in a month, I need to sell it vacant. Well, you don't need to do that anymore. You can sell it with a tenant in place. Those markets, the buy and hold market of homes, of single family rentals, let's say it's like 15 million homes, and then the buy and flip to owner, those markets are starting to diverge because they're creating their own separate markets that you can play in, and you could flip a home, or you could take a home and turn it into an investment and then flip it to an investor, hold it for a period of time and recoup a lot of your investment and then sell it to an investor, or you can turn around and sell it to a homeowner or to the actual tenant who's living in the home. And Fannie Mae is starting to become a lot more friendly to those types of transactions because some of the larger institutional investors are doing that.
You talk about having an exit strategy in mind first philosophy. That's exactly what Noel's describing. But we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. Get in touch with me. Go to thinkrealtyradio.com. Find me anywhere online. We have a magazine as well you can pick up at Barnes & Noble called Think Realty Magazine. We'll be right back.
This hour is brought to you by Renters Warehouse, one of the largest, fastest growing, and highest reviewed property management companies in America. We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Abhi Golhar after these messages.
Real estate notes give you immediate cash flow without tenants, repairs, or property taxes. With PaperSourceOnline.com, you buy a note, you become the banker, you decide how much interest you'll earn, and bankers never get phone calls from tenants. How do you get started? Take the free e-course by Bill Mancaro of The Paper Source. Bill's been buying notes for over 30 years. Bill has the heart of a teacher and wants you to succeed. Sign up for Bill's free e-course now at PaperSourceOnline.com. That's PaperSourceOnline.com.
Need a fast, reliable decision-making tool in today's real estate landscape? RentFacts combines real estate expertise and data to deliver decision-making tools for real estate pros. Investors, lenders, or property managers, RentFacts can determine rents and reliability of income for specific neighborhoods, forecast gross and net income in seconds. Find out how RentFacts can predict and compare how demographics, economics, crime, and other location factors affect the stability of your rental with a risk score. Go to RentFactsPro.com. RentFactsPro.com.
Listen up, investors. Where can you find educational tools and videos, industry insights, lists of wholesalers, lenders, and REI groups, plus deep discounts from top national home improvement retailers, all exclusively designed for real estate investors and all in one place? ThinkRealty.com. Sign up for your free intro-level Think Realty membership today. Think time. Think wealth. Think purpose. ThinkRealty.com. It's a real estate of mind.
Would you like to know the easiest way to create wealth and passive income with real estate? Now you can access the best deals without the stress or hassle of having to find, renovate, or manage them. Narada Real Estate Investments saves you time by providing you with professionally managed income properties in the best U.S. markets. Learn more at PassiveRealEstateGuide.com and download your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing. Simply visit PassiveRealEstateGuide.com.
We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Abhi Golhar.
Think Realty Nation, it's Abhi Golhar. We're back to Think Realty Radio. My guest, Noel Christopher from Renter's Warehouse. Noel, before the break, you had mentioned something very interesting, and that's thinking about your exit strategy before you start buying single-family rentals. What did you mean by that?
Well, it means is that you need to understand what is your strategy in general. Mm-hmm. So is your strategy to buy and hold for a long time, which I think is the best strategy, but then you need to understand what your exit strategy is if you need it, or what your exit strategy is overall. Are you amassing some homes, or if you want to cull some of your portfolio to buy into a commercial property, a retail truly armchair investment, or are you looking to continue to grow your portfolio? The other thing that's interesting in what's happening in the real estate market these days is that your options are becoming way more broad, and the friction is getting less. It's becoming much, much more frictionless to buy and sell homes. So your options, like I was talking about, selling your home to your tenant. You can report your tenant rent to the credit agencies and have that be a plus for them. You can sell your home to other investors. There's marketplaces like what we have in our marketplace. There's iBuyer programs. There's the commissions for real estate brokers are being compressed. These are all good things for the consumer. All the while, the level of service is staying high. So having a good exit strategy is really just understanding what it can be, and then understanding your portfolio as you are owning it, understanding how it's performing, and maybe you might have a house that's gone way up in value, and it might be a great idea to sell it. You might have a reason to sell it, and then you can turn that around and buy a couple of new houses, a couple other performing assets. So there's a lot of different ways to look at it.
Do you think that it makes sense for somebody listening? They're starting to get intrigued with the idea, or maybe they're already investing and they think, well, geez, I have a little bit of money in equity in my current house. Let's say it's worth $250,000 and I owe $50,000 on the first, and they want to get in heavy, buying more rentals or doing whatever it is that they want to do. Do you recommend a HELOC or some type of second mortgage where the borrower, where the homeowner borrows money against their property to go invest in real estate?
That's a tough one. It depends what you're leveraging it to. And it depends what what you can afford. Let's say everything, crashes as far as your personal life and you lose a job or you have no more income. I would, in that case, you know, maybe if you're taking a little bit out, if you're realizing a little bit of that equity to enable you to buy a house, to buy an investment property, and it comes out as a net gain, then yes. But I would be careful leveraging. I mean, ideally, you want to own your house free and clear that you live in. That would be the ideal situation. So whatever you can do to get yourself to that point is great. But if you're just leveraging your house over and over and over and increasing your payment and doing that, I'd rather take the slow and easy or the slow and steady way. Save up some money, save up that extra money that you're having to pay in your payment, and buy a moderate priced investment property, and then start to leverage those to get more. I just would be really careful about over leveraging in your primary residence.
I've seen that go wrong so many times. It's unbelievable, right? The intention and the idea may be sound, right? Well, hey, it makes sense. We're going to go ahead and borrow and we're going to put it to work in an income-producing property somewhere, and I get it, believe me. But A, if you don't have the investing personality set, if you don't understand your own risk tolerance, and then C, too, I mean, if this is your first property you're doing this for, you have to kind of figure out, okay, am I going to manage this myself? Am I going to put a property manager in place? Because that's going to cost a little bit of money, too, which helps you leverage and grow your portfolio in the long run. But what are you doing this for? So don't take any additional risks. I mean, quite frankly, just for a couple $100 a month, it doesn't make any sense to take additional risks if this is something that you're not used to. So just something to think about. In terms of this home flipping data, going back to this null for just a quick second here, what should be my takeaway? Is the takeaway that home flipping is decreasing and buying and holding real estate is now the play? And if so, are we toward the end of a real estate cycle?
Ooh, that's another tough one. I think that, you know, from this report, it doesn't really tell you a whole lot. It just tells you that the gross numbers have gone down a little bit. And it's so market specific and even neighborhood specific. Mm-hmm. Now, what I can say, it's gone way down from 2016, 2015, 2014, 13, where anybody could flip a home. I mean, you know, one of the biggest issues that we saw in Chicago is you couldn't find good contractors because they were all developers. They all right. have become developers. It's not like that anymore. I think this is good. It's kind of weeding out some of the guys who, you know, they were just throwing lipstick on a house and it would sell. The buyers are much more sophisticated and they're wanting a higher quality home. So I think home flipping is always going to be there, and there's smart people that do it. There is always a need for it in the market as older homes come back into the inventory that need to be rehabbed and then turned around and sold. But the days of buying the foreclosure and putting $50,000 into it and making $100,000, those days are over for now, except for just niche areas where opportunities might come up.
What's the best way that your current clients, because Renters Warehouse is a property management company all across the U.S., and you connect with property managers and investors nationwide, what have been some of their best acquisition strategies?
Well, for one, yeah, we are a property management company, and we also have an investor marketplace where you can buy and sell investment properties. And that's a new venture of ours that is right now exploding. The demand that we've had is unbelievable. I think that, you know, the best strategies, you know, it used to be people come to me and say, what market should I buy in? And how many homes do I have to buy there to create operational efficiencies? Mm-hmm. Now, when they ask that same question, I say, well, we're in 42 markets. So you could buy a home in each market and have a great strategy and have a consistent level of service. And that's what's changing in the real estate industry across the board, is that you can now work outside your geographic region and get a high level of service. You know, that's a game changer. So the strategy are those who are sharpshooters rather than casting a wide net to just bring in what they can. The sharpshooters are within individual markets. They leverage all of the data analytics and services out there to help them grow their portfolios and put smart people and smart companies behind them.
What are some of these analytics that I should be paying attention to, and where do I get that information? What do I need to know about it? Because that seems very daunting.
Well, so we've just actually just launched a little bit of self-promotion here. We've launched our in our investor marketplaces. You can type in a zip code and pull up the data and analytics of that zip code. And then you can go into some, well, so what that'll show you is some trends, population trends, gross rent trends, some different things. And if you zero in on a market, there's companies out there like Rent Range or House Canary or Adam Data or Black Knight. They all pull some of the similar information that you can really dive into a market and pull some of that data and see what's there. And it's really a matter of preference. I've been liking the House Canary data. I like some of the Rent Range data. We use that. We like some of the CoreLogic and Adam data. It's all good data. It's how you interpret it. That's where we get crazy on these articles, is people take an interpretation of this data when it says something different. But you want to look at those gross yields. That's a number that most people look at. When people are quoting you a net yield, it's based off of their expense ratio. So nobody knows the expense ratio but yourself.
That's
and you can
right.
have some help with that. And we guide a lot of people through what's the right expense ratio and things like that. But the gross yield is always a good number to look at. And then just, you know, cut it in half if you just want to do a back of the napkin and know what your expense ratio is. Just use an easy number of 50%. But sometimes you can push it lower. But usually it's that 50 to 55% expense ratio.
Awesome insights, Noel. We got to end the show, but thanks so much. I appreciate you joining me today.
You bet.
All right, Think Realty Nation, that's Noel Christopher from Renters Warehouse. Get in touch with me with questions. You can go to thinkrealtyradio.com. Until next time, happy investing.
This hour is brought to you by Renters Warehouse, one of the largest, fastest growing, and highest reviewed property management companies in America.
The show is over, but Abhi's expertise is available for you 24/7 at thinkrealtyradio.com. Think Realty Radio. A real estate of mind. Online at thinkrealtyradio.com.